This is HPR episode 2602 entitled HPR Quick Tips July 2018. It is hosted by Operator and is about 25 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Spyder OAK backup and tracking that.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with your host Operator. I'm apologizing again, yet again, with the for the audio. I'm sitting yet again, still in the same place we left off with you with me last time, in gridlock traffic, Atlanta, Georgia. So I wanted to do another quick tip. This is going over cloud storage, the different providers, and where I'm at in that current process. So I have about a terabyte worth of stuff I need to put on the internet, images and music and all that, all my media and everything, try to back up portions of it to the cloud. And I've looked at a few options here. Now, the fellow just got out of the car, made me a little bit concerned. So the first thing I started with is my Amazon account, which is $60 a year, and I think up until you just missed it, March of this year, you had unlimited storage. That is going to be discontinued. What you had, give you some brief history about that, is I think they wanted to get the market on other providers. Amazon wanted to get the market on other providers like Dropbox and Google Drive and all that, so they said $60 unlimited. The cool part about that is for about a year and a half, if you purchased a subscription with Plex Lifetime, you got the cloud for free. So their Plex Lifetime is, I want to say, $85 to $100-something now. When I first bought it, it was a lot cheaper. You got their unlimited account, or you got the Plex Pass for MediaBox streaming media services, kind of like build your own TiVo, right? You got that cloud version for free, and you could actually aim it at your Amazon cloud storage, which was $60 a year for unlimited access. So essentially, for the price of a existing Plex Pass subscription, or for if you don't have it, for like $85 and then another $60, you could have unlimited cloud storage of your media server on Amazon for that price, which is astounding. So what you had was a flood of people, trolls and folks trying to jump on that opportunity. So we had things like Amazon Sync applications. I can't remember the names of the two that I looked at, but if you look on like Reddit forums, you'll see that it worked, and then all these posts about people trying to sync their Plex boxes, and they lost the ability to do that because the API key got banned from like Google, or got not Google, but got banned from Amazon, and another API key for another application got banned from Amazon. So they had a bunch of people trying to store their data, and Amazon kept pushing back and not even allowing people to store their essentially illegal content on these cloud storages. So I tried to get it to work with Amazon, didn't have any luck. I also looked at a different provider that wasn't Google Drive, and they also complained about the same thing. So I ended up sticking with Google Drive. I had worked with them before. I looked at what they were using was RClone, I think, to do the syncing, and I had some familiarity with it. I've used Google Drive for a while now, and I thought that would be a good choice for me because it's fast and all that good stuff. So what I ended up doing was paying for their 20 and some change a month 2 terabyte plan, and I, over the course of a month or so, I uploaded from my home connection all of my backups. had him up there, and I recorded a podcast with a fellow that doesn't live too far away from here at this point, downtown, and I'll have that posted up probably the next couple of weeks. And I uploaded that with a zip file of the original raw WAV files to Google Drive, and they marked it as like copyrighted MP3 or something. I don't know what their algorithm is or whatever. And not only did it mark the MP3, it actually marked the zip file with the WAV files track, broken out tracks, where I stopped and started the recording, the podcast, into that. So I don't know what happened with their algorithm that marked it. I also had some instances where I had shared my USB folder, which has some content in it that can be considered pirated material, where I took my license and I made a virtual thin applications, a virtual portable application for that. So that way, if I'm on the road, I can simply just go to my USB drive, install the application, and have everything I need running, and I don't have to worry about licensing or activating or having a local administrator or whatever. So what ended up happening is Google would flag those as spam, and then in some instances as viruses, and I couldn't even download my own files that I upload. So for the example of the MP3, it wouldn't actually let me download my own file that I had uploaded to Google Drive, which is completely unacceptable, and I do understand their licensing and their issues around pirated content, but that's not the situation that I'd like to be in. So I made the decision to remove all my content and cancel my subscription with Google Drive, looked around for some other options, and I'm not sure I'm going to even have the options that I want, but I ended up sticking with Spider Oak, which is the no knowledge, not to be confused with zero knowledge, but a no knowledge cloud storage provider. Their tools, although not open source, obviously, appeared to be good. And I'm in the process of syncing all that content, and I have shared some of the items that I had issues with in Dropbox through Spider Oak, and I don't appear to have the same issues that this automatic whiz-bang flagging stuff did in Google Docs. So the short answer to all this is I'm still evaluating Spider Oak. I'm waiting to get the same type of treatment that I got with Dropbox, which was even worse than Google Drive, whereas Google Drive, you can at least petition to have that information unflagged. But Dropbox would do stuff like completely disable sharing altogether because of one random proof of concept executable inside of one of the My Security folder. So they wouldn't even tell you. I had to go through several emails back and forth to get the actual reason and what file was involved with the disabling of sharing with my account. So I think that's pretty much covers all my setups and my ideas. You know, again, I started with rclone, which is kind of a sync that will cross against multiple platform cloud providers, and I used Google's for that. And I will say that when I back up my root, I've been using Borg backup to do that, but that has incremental backups and you can do full backups. So I'll make a change to my root, or I'll make a whatever, and I'll have those incremental backups in Borg, and I'll have several. What I want to do is have several incremental full backups and several incrementals in there, so that I can constantly keep those synced to the internet if I need to go back and look at a configuration file from 6 months ago that I completely destroyed. But anyways, along with Borg backup to back up my root, and using Spider Oak with their tool, the command line version, to back it up, I did have to use the UI to initially set the backup locations and stuff, what to back up and what to not back up. I'm assuming you can do that via the command line, but it was a lot easier for me to do that just through the UI in Debian. And then once I set that up, I was able to run the headless mode and do the verbose and look at some of the logs that were going through and look at the traffic. So I'm looking at another, you know, month of sync time for that data. But hopefully on the end of this, we'll have some ability to share. With Spider, you can have a password for each share, and each share has its own kind of encryption. So that way, for example, if I share a folder, my whole the idea is that that thing has its own encryption and it's different than the other, from what I understand. So if someone were to get access somehow to the rest of your data, that key is only good for whatever the bucket or whatever that you shared. So that's some good news in that they have that in mind. So we'll see whether or not their, you know, anti-piracy and anti-shenanigans start flagging stuff within Spider Oak, but I'm hoping with the password prompt and the limited amount of people that I do send this these links to, I won't have to worry about silly automatic flagging my recorded MP3s and custom binaries as malware and not allowing me to read my own files. Anyways, still sitting in traffic here, and maybe I'll record another episode before the day's end. Have a good one. Another quick tip. Wanted to go over quickly my experience in trekking or hiking, whatever. So someone wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail, and I figured I could do it if they could do it. So that was my first experience. So don't know anything about what you're supposed to pack or how you're supposed to pack or any of that stuff. I wore some crappy tennis shoes, and I spent the whole time staring at the ground making sure I wasn't going to trip or fall, and I didn't, which is good. But I think with some nicer shoes and a little bit less staring at the ground, I could have enjoyed it a little bit more, but I did not want to fall in the water or anything like that on my first try and then have a twisted ankle, rolled ankle for like, you know, 3 days straight. But anyways, I won't pretend to know anything about this, but I'll tell you my experience going completely blind for 3 nights. I've only gone camping before, and this was my first time doing a full-blown, night stay over and then breaking camp for the next day and then doing that 3 times. So I can handle three nights without a shower. That third night waking up in the morning, I was kind of done and I needed a shower, and I probably, and a shower and a real meal, I probably could have pulled off more days. But my day is, I'm 37, 38, whatever, and I don't exercise that much, and I enjoy being, not feeling like grossness. So 3 days, 3 nights was my limit. It was fairly cool. It was fairly cool at night. So I'm here in South Georgia, and we went top of this Blood Mountain, and it was a trek to get up there. We went, I think, at night or something like that. Our first run through, we made it up there really late, like at 2 o'clock, like 12 or something, when we finally made it up that way. When we camped out on top, it was freezing cold. I didn't bring enough warm stuff. But luckily, I had had that same experience in 31 degree, whatever. It was freaking cold when I camped once. So I got a nice, a decent little, I don't know how to explain it, a little sleeping bag that can be compressed down, and it's, you know, rated for something decent. A decent mummy type of sleeping bag, and that saved my life. I had a t-shirt other than that, three t-shirts, I think is what I brought with me. What I will say is, and everybody warned me, I should have done the MREs at REI and not military grade MREs, because they're just not as good, and you'll want to not poop for 4 days. So I right off the bat, do not drink, eat too much protein or fiber. Do not drink too much water. I think I actually drank too much water that also contributed to me. Having bowel movement issues, so I had too much MRE and too many, we got some free protein bars. I would have probably had to steal someone else's food because I didn't pack enough snacks and or MREs to eat. So I was eating protein bars for some of my meals, which was a really bad idea. Other than that, I'll say that I was just very careful not to trip or fall on roots or anything like that, and not to fall in the water. I had 3 pair of socks, I think, total. And I was pretty legit. Now, I did buy one of those fancy UV things for the water, and I did not have a filter, so I used somebody else's basically tea filter for the first two nights, and then we had somebody else join us, our group, and they had a MSR pump, and that was okay, and that was like super filtered water. And I didn't see it super necessary to work that hard for water. We had a super skinny girl roll up with her platypus gravity fed platypus filter, and that is enough. I mean, and she had her three bottles. She walked over there, filled it up, gravity fed, and then filled it back up, gravity fed, and she was off with her like 3 liters of water or whatever in very short time with the little. Jesus Christ. The little plastic, I think they're 1 liter, maybe they're 1 liter, and she had like two or three of those. And she was in and out in no time. And I'm sitting over there with an MSR pump trying to backwash it and all that crap. And between that and then doing the UV, I think that was a bit overkill. I don't know. So we had some pretty, one or two sketchy places to get water. And I tried to be super careful. I'd shake up the water and do the UV thing a couple of times because I wasn't super happy about having basically a coffee filter for a water filter. But I couldn't complain because I didn't bring any of the gear for that. I just brought the water zapper thing. The MREs, like I said, I wouldn't do the military grade. I would, if you could spring for the nice REI ones, they are wonderful. Wonderfully good, 10 times better than the MREs. You get the military grade ones, like an Army surplus. They're going to be cheaper, and they're going to have like more salt in them, and they're going to give you more bang for your buck, but you're going to have bowel issues, and it's got a lot of salt, probably more salt in them than the REI stuff. What else? I did not know this. I actually borrowed somebody else's sack. Or rucksack, whatever. So there's like a backpack, okay, no. And then there's like these sets, like compression backpacks, basically. So it's a big bag, a big sack, and you shove it full of shit. And that's what luckily I got like, it was like a 65 liter one. And I got to borrow that, and that saved me. I was the lightest guy that traveled because for my first time, I didn't want to be lugging around a bunch of shit and have my back go out. But what I did not know about the whole thing, and if you look at anything online, it's all in your waist, and you have to keep the weight on the kind of off your shoulders, and you shouldn't feel a whole lot on your shoulders, and you can alternate back and forth to completely getting rid of all the weight off your shoulders. And, you know, putting a little bit more weight on your shoulders to give your back some relief and unbuckling the front. The idea is that front buckle, you're going to need that for more than a day of hiking or trekking, whatever. If you don't have that front buckle with an actual real backpack, you're going to just be miserable the whole time. And we had a dude, I mean, half my size, and you know, he was pretty built, actually, but he didn't have a thing. He just had a regular, like, sack, and it had no belt strap because it was broken or some shit, and he carried that shit on his shoulder for 2 days. We had 3 days, and they met up with us later, but I could not have done it, because I alternated between on my back and on my shoulders, and I that was about as much as I could handle. So yeah, it was an experience to me to know that, you know, you put it all on your back, your hips, and put all that weight on your hips, and try to keep, you know, the balance, everything balanced, even the weight of your sack. You don't want everything on the left or the right. That was interesting to understand and figure out. And I didn't super think that I would enjoy it, but it was something different, and you feel like, especially if you're doing, you know, the Appalachian Trail and you're just going, you know, to the wall, balls to the walls with it for 3 days. We did 30 miles in 3 days. It was about 10 miles a day, but we did Blood Mountain and down, and then we went to top of Springer at the end. So we went backwards, I think, from what most people do, which supposedly was easier. But I had a blast. It's fun. I want to do it more.
just probably get some nice REI things. I bought some fancy shoes, some Salomon shoes, because I've got some Salomon roller skates that I've had forever. So I bought some fancy shoes and broke them in, just day hiking, so I'm ready to do another big hike. But we caught a little bit of sun, and towards the end we ran into a giant, like, military grade water truck, or buffalo, I think they called it. And it was just a giant tank of water, and it was cool because it was in, you know, a big metal tank, and it was cool to the touch. And that was a godsend to be drinking nice, because when you're drinking water out of Camelback, at least the one I had was like a military grade Camelback, very sturdy, but it was 3 liter, I think. The problem with it is that you had the issue of, I'm trying to not kill myself here. You had the issue of it being hot. So the line was a black line, and it was warm. So if you let the water sit in there for a while, you're just drinking like warm water, and it's not super appealing to do that. But water's water, and you can't complain when you're dying of thirst. But I tried to make sure I was just sipping on water the whole time, because I did not want to have any issues with dehydration or not getting enough energy to make it through the day. So I think that made a lot of difference. And I made a bad choice to wear some crappy tennis shoes, but that's all I had, and I didn't really have time to break in some new shoes. And I just debated whether or not to bring boots. You know, if you're light on your feet and you take care of your feet and you don't, you watch where you're walking very carefully, you can get away with nice hiking shoes or trekking shoes or whatever you call them that basically look like tennis shoes. And then they have like mid pumps basically. And then they have your full on boot. The problem with both of those is you risk getting blisters, and I would rather roll my ankle than pretty much guarantee I'm going to get a blister when I wear boots. I'm sure there's tactics you can do to keep yourself from getting blisters, but in general, the guy we had a nasty one, and I'm like, I don't really particularly want to do that, but I also don't want to roll my ankle, so I stared at the ground for 3 days. Other than that, I don't really have any other suggestions. I bought a used pack off the internet. It was actually one of the Osprey travel things, so it's kind of actually kind of like a jack of all, master of none. It did have a belt strap, which is essential. It was a 65 ounce, and it had the compression stuff, but it was more of like a travel sack, so you could take it like an international travel or whatever, and it's supposed to fit. It doesn't actually fit in the overhead luggage, but it has that kind of suitcasey type of appeal to it, and it's got a lot of extra weight and foam, which is more extra foam, which is not a whole lot of extra weight, but it's extra weight regardless. So I probably have an extra, you know, half a pound worth of just crap and foam that I don't really need. So if I would have done it, I would have got a proper rucksack, not a military grade one. I would have got a really fancy waterproof one, which are really expensive. I don't understand why they don't make them waterproof in the first place, but they sell like waterproofing satchels that go over the top of it. I'm guessing the idea is that whatever master wizard fabric they put on this stuff is not also waterproof, which doesn't make a whole lot of point, a lot of sense. Talked about shoes, clothes. I had 3 shirts. I think I brought 3 underwear. And I brought 3 shirts, and I think that's it. And I had pants. I wore some TruSpec pants, which I'm wearing right now because I did airsoft. And I basically let the zipper open the whole time because I wore whitey tighties to help with airflow. If you're a male, this will help you. But I wore whitey tighties for airflow, and then I left my zipper fly open the whole time. And it personally helped me get relief in that whole area. I hope people get water. I got water for people a lot. I wanted to make sure people were drinking clean water, so I tried to zap everybody's water they could. I could zap. But, you know, there's no guarantee. You just kind of have to be whatever. The odds of you actually getting sick are pretty, if you even just use a filter, I think, a basic, you know, a basic gravity fed filter, like a platypus, nice platypus setup, you're pretty much, unless you get something really nasty, you're gonna be fine. You're gonna get, not gonna get Giardia or the common crap you get. That's pretty much it. And if you haven't done it, you need to do it at least, you know, one or two nights of hiking, of spending the night and then waking up in the morning and breaking camp and trying to get everybody to wake up. It was fun. Anyways, hope that helps somebody or doesn't, or let me know if you have any questions or if I did something vastly wrong or said something vastly wrong. Please let me know, because I'm really interested in it and I haven't done a whole lot of research. I was lucky we had a medic and like two army guys come with us, so they had been doing a lot of walking and they're just like, food and water and shelter is all you need. It's like, okay, whatever. So I pulled it off. Anyways, have a good one. Take it easy.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.